بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد beliefs regarding the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, the messengers. Belief number one, the Anbiya alayhim salam are the pure and chaste servants of Allah Ta'ala, who were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide his servants so that the creation be brought closer to Allah Ta'ala and onto the straight path, and they be saved from deviation. They were human beings and possessed all human propensities and qualities. They received knowledge directly from Allah Ta'ala called Wahi, revelation. They possessed the greatest knowledge in their times and amongst their people. Belief number two, to be a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a Nabi or Rasul, is a special gift of Allah Ta'ala. It can never be acquired or earned through striving or effort. Allah Ta'ala chooses for this task whomsoever He wills. Number three, it is necessary to believe in and honor all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. To reject even one Nabi is tantamount to rejecting all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, since all the Anbiya alayhim salam taught the same principles, even though they differed in subsidiary matters. Belief number four, all the Anbiya alayhim salam are pure and chaste servants of Allah Ta'ala. They are free from major and minor sins, due to which they are referred to as ma'asum, sinless. This belief is part of Iman. If the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam were not pure and free from sin, Allah Ta'ala would have never ordered the implicit and absolute obedience. Allah Ta'ala would not have equated obedience to them as obedience to Him. If any slip up occurs in a Nabi due to forgetfulness or by mistake, then we will attribute it to an outside factor and not as an inherent fault. The natural disposition of the Anbiya alayhim salam is purity. A slip up by a Nabi can never be counted as a sin, since they are not naturally disposed to evil. For example, the mistake of Adam alayhi salam was due to forgetfulness. No one besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are sinless. Number five, the Anbiya alayhi salam were the trustworthy servants of Allah Ta'ala. They would never conceal or hide any part of the message of Allah Ta'ala and the truth, out of fear for any person. All the Anbiya alayhi salam fulfilled their duties most perfectly and were successful, even if no one accepted them. Number six, the Anbiya alayhim salam are never removed from their posts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose knowledge is complete and all-encompassing, will never choose a person who will turn out to be unworthy of the post. Number seven, the rank of some Anbiya alayhim salam surpasses the rank of others. The rank of a Rasul is higher in status than that of a Nabi. A Rasul is a specific and special messenger, whereas a Nabi is a general messenger. Every Rasul is a Nabi, but not every Nabi is a Rasul, and a non-Nabi can never be equal to a Nabi. Number eight, Allah Ta'ala granted the Anbiya alayhim salam some information of the unseen and future events according to need and expediency. Some knowledge was given to them of the unseen. But knowledge of all unseen things and being omnipresent is a speciality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is not the quality of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Fortunately, some people say the Anbiya alayhim salam had all knowledge of every single thing, or they are omnipresent, they are present in every single place. So this belief is completely incorrect. There is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah's knowledge is all-encompassing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the seventh juz was recited, the seventh para. In the beginning of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about those people, Christian people, but when they heard the Quran Sharif being recited, their eyes started tearing and their hearts were softened, because they understood the truth which has come in the Quran Sharif. This is the power of the Quran Sharif, power of wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person hears with a clean heart, with a pure heart, and is prepared to accept, and this has a great effect upon a person. These non-Muslim people heard the words of the Quran, they started tearing. Let us look into our lives, how much of tears do we shed whenever we recite the Quran, or even occasionally some tears come out from our heart, from our eyes. It shows the hard-heartedness of our heart has become extremely hard. This is why a person doesn't even shed when reading the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. What Allah has made halal for you, do not make it haram. Do not consider it to be haram. And do not exceed the bounds of deen. Allah ta'ala does not like a person must exceed the bounds of deen. Some sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had this desire within themselves that now they want deen in their lives completely, so they made certain things haram upon themselves, example meat, I won't go to my woman folk. I won't sleep the whole night. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but Allah has made halal, but do not make it haram. When Allah Ahmad Lahori rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, the days before that Allah ta'ala was mentioning about da'wah, giving da'wah to non-Muslims. So he said, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be presented to non-Muslims in its pure and original form. There is no need for a person to chop and change to show the non-Muslims that the difference in the form of Islam, whatever Allah has made haram, you make it halal. What Allah has made halal, you make it haram. To show the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is when a person is giving da'wah. And there is great power and attraction in the Sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many years ago in America, there was one person who had gone in Jamaat. He came home and he was a non-Muslim person, accepted Islam. He was wearing Islamic libas and clothing. So he met one da'i. One person who had gone for da'wah to America, and this person was in a suit and trousers. So that person told the Jamaat brother that there's no need for you to dress up like this here in America. People will see you, they'll think you're a terrorist. They'll have a bad impressions of you. This is not the way that you make people frightened. So this non-Muslim person asked him, you have been in America so many years, how many people have accepted da'wah of Islam at your hand? So he said, nobody has accepted still, I'm still trying so many years. So he said, Alhamdulillah, through this dress of mine, this libas of mine, and people are just looking at me, 300 people have accepted Islam at my hands already. So really, there is great power in the Sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shouldn't feel shy of our deen. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, there is power in there. People make objections, this is to their own detriment. But either the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most perfect. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, if a person has made such promises, then he must break his qasam. And Allah ta'ala mentions the kafara. What kafara a person must give if he has taken an oath, which is not beneficial. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about certain things which are haram. Now a person mustn't try to make this halal. For example, innama al-khamru wal-maisir, wine and gambling and certain kinds of idol worship. Well, Islam, divination arrows. People used to take these arrows and see whether it's good luck or bad luck. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all of these actions, rijz, it's filth and dirt, it's among the actions of shaitan. Stay far away from it so that you will be successful. And shaitan wants to create amongst you people enmity and hatred with wine and gambling and all of these things. Khamar is wine. But if you take a more general meaning, ma khamar al-aqal, whatever overpowers a person's mind and brains and takes it away. In today's time, many of the sports, for example, where the person's mind is completely taken away, he can't think properly. All the time his mind is in these things. So that also has been amali shaitan, the international sports which people are playing, filth and dirt. Allah Ta'ala says, stay far away from it, you will be successful. Because by means of all of these things, shaitan wants to create enmity amongst people. Person says, my country, I follow a certain sports player, you got love for that person now. Then you get hatred for your own Muslim brother, because he follows another team. So how much of enmity is created by means of the sport, by means of this wine, by means of gambling. And shaitan wants to prevent you people from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from salah. When a person becomes involved in all of these things, he forgets the dhikr of Allah, he forgets his salah also. It takes the person completely, becomes so engrossed in these things and turns the person away, his attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهَلَ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Aren't you going to stop in all of these things, all these actions of shaitan? Follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you turn away, then know that it's upon the messenger only to convey the message. He has given the message. Unfortunately, you are going on the wrong path. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in life Allah will test you. That this is a world of examination. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were wearing the ihram. They were going to the Holy Land, Makkah Mukarramah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for them. The animals used to come on their path. And it was so easy for them now. Some small rabbits you can catch with your own hands. Or the bucks and deer, you take your spears and you easily catch it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these things are coming in front of you. It's not just coming in front of you. Allah ta'ala is sending it. And it's a means of examination. لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is definitely testing you in life with these things. لِيَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah wants to know who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching me. Allah knows exactly what I am doing. The person who sees the bounce after death, فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For him is a very severe punishment. Some ulama have taken a more general meaning that in life also Allah will test a person. Sometimes haram money comes to a person. Sometimes a woman comes in a person's life. Now this person thinks, what an opportunity I've got here. But this woman wasn't sent. The money wasn't just, it didn't just come like that. It was a test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sent it to a person to see now who he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will he pass his examination or will he fail his examination? A person who exceeds the bounds after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for him is a very severe punishment. So everything in life you are tested. And for a short while Allah ta'ala tests a person. And thereafter Allah opens up for a person. Something in the hadith, something to the effect. A person who leaves out haram for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the same bounty back in a halal way. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him something far better than the haram which a person had abstained from. So sometimes these are examinations in a person's life. A person is tested with haram, is tested with doubtful things. A person abstains for a while, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب. Pure and good and filth can never be equal. Even though abundance of evil and filth and dirt makes you happy, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O intelligent people, so you will be successful. The ulama say also that if a person, if there's so much of evil and immorality, but there's a few pious people, pure people, even the method of deen, if you're doing it in a correct way, in a pure way, it can never be equal to, no matter abundance of khabith and evil and filth and dirt. For example, by means of television, we're giving dawah towards Islam. It's a very evil way. And even though it might lead to so many people are watching and getting hidayat outwardly, it seems like it, but it can never be pure and filth can never be equal. If a person follows the pure way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a lot of barakat and blessings in that day. A person must never use evil and filth to spread the pure deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about when a person before passing away, he should ensure that his wasiyat is written if before passing away. So a person knows exactly, as you had mentioned the other day regarding inheritance, he must be written, and preferably it's better to have two witnesses also who are present, who see exactly what a person has written down. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of Qiyamah, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and what he on the day of Qiyamah, the case he will put against his own people because of what they said regarding him, and he will see it completely free from it. It's not possible for me to say that I was also a ilah, a god, and these people are saying it from their own side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the ma'idah. The people of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam asked for a certain dastarkhan to come down from the heavens, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will send it down to you, this bounty which you are asking for, but if you make nashukri thereafter, after seeing the clear sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will give you such a severe punish the people in such a severe way which he never punished anyone from before. And according to some ulama, that after Allah sent down the bounty to them, they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they did not fulfill the rights of the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually they were punished in a very great way. And this is because they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that time. But we also must look into our lives. Allah has given us many, many great spiritual bounties. Example, the Quran Sharif, what a great bounty. And after Allah gives it to us, if we know we show nashukri, we are ungrateful to this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may not happen that Allah ta'ala punishes us like how he never punished anyone before. Allah ta'ala protect and save us. The next surah is Surah An'am. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to some ulama, in the beginning of the Quran, we ask Allah ta'ala for hidayat, guidance. So Allah has mentioned all the different groups, the Jews and the Christians and the women and the dastarkhan and the na'am, also animals, livestock, all of these things, a person is asking Allah ta'ala protection, because this is one means of a person going misguided. According to other ulama, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Majus. The Majus are the fire worshippers. In today's time, the Satanists, and they believe, the Satanists believe, the two gods, the god of good and the god of evil. Na'udhu billah, they believe that Allah Ta'ala is the creator of evil and Shaitan is the creator of good. Whatever evil is in the world is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah, this is their belief. So in this surah, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes them, and he speaks about his tawheed and his oneness. And the whole surah is generally about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to some ulama, some narration, 70,000 angels came down and the surah was revealed one time. 70,000 angels brought it down to show the great importance of the surah in the life of a Muslim also. And the tawheed and the oneness of Allah is explained in different ways, by means of talqeen, by means of taqreer. Some places Allah Ta'ala addresses the people and tells them that Allah is the one who has done this, Allah is the one who has done this. And in other ways Allah Ta'ala asks them questions. You people tell us, who has done this, who has done this? And the non-Muslims are forced to say it, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the subject of tawheed in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences mentioning that Allah is the one who has created the heavens and the earth. Allah is the one who has made darkness, and Allah is the one who has made light. Then through the kuffar and disbelievers, they are making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who has created you from sand, and Allah has given a person life. He is the only deity in the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single thing. So a person must only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, travel in the world and see what was the final result of those people who had disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how eventually they were completely destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember the day of Qiyamah, and you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the non-Muslims will say, if only we could be returned into this world, then we won't disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll be amongst the believers. But then it will be too late for them. They used to say in this worldly life, in here illa hayatun ad-dunya, we're only going to live once in this world, let's enjoy ourselves, we'll never be resurrected. That if only you have to see, when they will be made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be questioned, then it will be too late for a person. So a person must always keep in front of him akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this world, we sent difficult conditions upon people, and the whole object of these difficult conditions, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that they can humble themselves and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why wasn't it such? When our punishment came upon the people, they humbled themselves. But unfortunately, قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts became hard. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and Shaitan beautified for them the evil actions, and they thought what we're doing is very good. So when they forgot what they had been reminded was, Allah sent down the signs. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, Allah said, we opened up now. He gave them many, many bounties. And they thought now that they are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا, when they were happy with what they were given, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, and we caught hold of them suddenly. And now they completely lost hope. And they completely destroyed. فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, then the back or the roots of these people who had disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had made oppression, was completely cut off, and they were completely destroyed in this world. Allah has full power and control. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives bounties to a person, it doesn't mean that Allah is happy with a person. As the ulama mentioned, sometimes it can be a ni'mat and sometimes it can be a ni'mat. As it gives a beautiful example of this, it's a housewife in the house, she gives some cheese or some roti with ghee, fresh hot roti with ghee. Sometimes she gives it to a parrot. Why? Because she loves the parrot. So she's happy with the parrot, she gives it to the parrot. And sometimes she takes the same ghee roti, or she takes the cheese, and the mouse was coming out of the hole, a rat, and he was eating the potatoes one day, the tomatoes one day, and then eventually when he ate the housewife's scarf also, it made a big hole in there, she became now very upset. Now she takes that cheese and she places it by the hole, and on the other side of that is the trap. So the mouse comes out and he thinks, hey, this woman, she loves me, I'm so accepted in her sight, what wonderful cheese she has given me, or the ghee roti she has given me. And now when that rat is nibbling, enjoying himself, and suddenly that trap comes over it and it's completely destroyed. So it doesn't mean that every ni'mat and bounty things that Allah has given to a person is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it is a punishment. Istidraj, Allah is giving a person a respite. In every bounty we must see, is our attention turning more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it's turning more towards Allah ta'ala, this is a bounty. Otherwise it's a ni'mat, it's a punishment from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this here, then Allah mentions that, tell me, if Allah Ta'ala takes away your hearing and your eyesight, and Allah seals your heart, which other God is there besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will bring it back? Allah Ta'ala has got full control. So a person must keep this always, the great qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that honor and izzat is in deen, not wealth. Many people, because of their nobility and their wealth, they felt that how can Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit with the poor people, poor sahaba radiallahu anhum. So they wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have a separate majlis for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from doing so. They never ever chase away such people. They have got great status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a person is sitting in the company of people who are engaged in things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then turn away from the gathering. Never sit in such a gathering until eventually those people start speaking about something else. And if shaitan makes you forget, the minute you remember, immediately wake up and go away and stay away from such gatherings. A person must be very careful of the gatherings which he is sitting. In gatherings is included the books a person is reading, the media, where a person and where a person is going to. The people are speaking such evil things, and a person gets now stuck in shukuk and doubt, and eventually a person now he becomes more and more misguided. He doesn't realize also, but a small amount of doubt is placed into his heart. Even the books a person reads, one person wrote one book on Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, but a non-Muslim person, and he praised him in the whole kitab. Only one place, he had one line, and that line was enough to create enough doubt in a person to in the Sahabi. He just mentioned that sometimes Abu Huraira used to fabricate a hadith. So that's one line he's written in the kitab, he praised him in the whole kitab. But that one line now places doubt in a person. All the 5,000 hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, whenever you read it, now you got doubt, is this hadith correct or is it incorrect? So the person has to be very careful about the company a person keeps, or the books a person reads, on the messages which a person is getting, what he is reading, because this can misguide a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and how he gave da'wah to his people. In beautiful ways he explained to his people the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat, tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this wasn't only the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, all the past anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Yeah, I think about 18 anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam I mentioned here by name. And besides this there were many, many other anbiya alayhi salam. And they all came, the most purest of people. And la asalukum alayhi ajra, I do not ask you for any reward in this worldly life. I'm not asking you for any money. I'm only giving you nasihat and advice. This is my duty and responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people who Allah guided. For bihudahu muqtadi, on their guidance, the person must follow. And here Allah is even commanding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the stories of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. One of the greatest means of hidayat and guidance for a person is to read the stories of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. Stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And a person reads and of the pious predecessors. And a person reads about their stories and he gets himmat and courage within himself. That is why also Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi said that these are the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these waqiyat and stories of the pious people. And a person will read them, his iman becomes refreshed, it becomes stronger, and now a person is able to move forward. So whenever a person goes down, mention about our elders, some of our buzurugs, whenever they used to feel like a weakness in the iman, or a lack of desire to do good actions, then they will read the stories of the pious predecessors, and this will create himmat and courage in them. That if these people could do it, why can't I also do it? And inshallah, in this way, our personal progress spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about false anbiya alayhi, false nabis. People come and they giving nabuwat and they say they are false nabis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is all is a complete incorrect. That some people say, ma anzalallahu ala bashrim. This ayah is regarding something else. Wa man azlamu mimman iftara ala Allahi kadhiman wa qala uhiya ilayya wa lam yuha ilayhi shay'un. So who can be a bigger zalim and oppressor than a person who says something has been revealed to me, whereas nothing has been revealed to him? There is no new Nabi to come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the final Nabi. Besides Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam will come, he is not a new Nabi. No other person can come now and claim that he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all of you people will come alone, single, naked on the day of Qiyamah, like how Allah ta'ala created you in the beginning. Normally on a journey in life, when a person is going, a person takes a companion. If he has no companion, minimum he has his clothing, and he's going around with his clothing. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll come on the biggest journey. No clothing also a person will have. Yes, that person who had sent forward his amal, his salih, his good actions, this will come and help a person on the day of Qiyamah. You clothe somebody, you will get clothing on the day of Qiyamah. You fed somebody, Allah will give you food on the day of Qiyamah. But a person must remember that how, but all the wealth and the things of this world, a person will leave. وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِكُمْ Behind your back, so all of these things will be left in this worldly life. Those people who you thought can help and assist you, on the day of Qiyamah, they won't be able to help you. The connection will be completely cut off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the signs of Allah in the world. How Allah ta'ala has made the grain and the pits of the seeds. Allah ta'ala takes out the living from the dead and the dead from the living. The one who brings every morning, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The night is when a person can relax. And the sun and the moon, Allah has made them for a means of hisab and reckoning and counting for a people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made stars, which guides people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings in the most amazing way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the rain from the heavens. And by means of it, all different plantations come out. The person looks at the plantations, look at the different fruits. Unzuru ila samarihi idha asmara wa yan'i. Look at the fruit when it comes out, and eventually when it ripens. Inna fi dhalika laayatin liqawmin yu'minun. For people of iman only, there will be signs for them. A non-Muslim person will see the same thing. You see, it happened by nature. It's by chance it happened. It's happening every day. But a person of iman, when he will look at these things, he will look at subhanallah. The fruit yesterday there was no sugar, there was no taste in it. It's completely hard. Today, who is the one who has put that sugar inside? Who is the one who has made it sweet? Who is the one who has ripened it? What a beautiful way Allah Ta'ala has made it. On one tree, 10 different fruits, every one of them got a slightly different taste. And they got a different texture. The look is different. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see this, a person of iman will say subhanallah. And his yaqeen and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase much more. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last page mentions an important da'wat of, important usul of da'wat is when a person is giving da'wat to non-Muslim people, those who call besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not swear their God. Do not speak ill about them. Because what will happen, it will create enmity in the other group. Other person will now start swearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, out of enmity, without having any knowledge. Because Allah has beautified for every nation their amal and their actions. So in a good way, a person can say that this is wrong, why it's incorrect, and explain to him nicely. But Allah says, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا, do not swear, do not burabala, do not speak ill of their gods, like in such a way that you're going to inflame them and you're going to make them more upset. So this is also one very important usul and principle of Dawood. The haqq is very, very apparent in a beautiful way a person has presented. Those want to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثم إلى ربهم مرجعهم. Allah, you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every action and ummah, Allah will inform them exactly of what actions they have done. So it is our test duty to give the da'wah, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even you meet a non-Muslim person in a beautiful way, explain to him the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether he accepts or doesn't accept, that's not in our control, in our hands. It is our duty to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبركم بوصية نوح ابنه قالوا بلى قال أوصى نوح ابنه فقال لابنه يا بني إني أوصيك باثنين وأنهاك عن اثنين أوصيك بقول لا إله إلا الله فإنها لو وضعت في كفة ووضعت السماوات والأرض لرجحت بهن ولو كان حلقة لقسمتهن حتى تخلص إلى الله فذكر الحديث رواه بزار حضرت عبداللہ بن عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کا ارشاد ہے کہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ علیہم اجمعین کو فرمایا کیا میں تم کو نوح علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی وصیت نہ بتلاؤں جو انہوں نے اپنے بیٹے کو کی تو صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ علیہم اجمعین نے کہا ضرور بتلائے تو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ نوح علیہ السلام نے اپنے بیٹے کو کہا اے پیارے بیٹے میں تمہیں دو کام کرنے کی وصیت کرتا ہوں اور دو کام کرنے سے روکتا ہوں تو میں وصیت کرتا ہوں لا الہ الا اللہ کی پس بے شک اگر اس کو رکھ دیا جائے ترازو کی ایک پلڑے میں اور آسمانوں اور زمین کو دوسری پلڑے میں تو اس کا پلڑے بھاری ہو جاوے گا اور اگر تمام آسمانوں ایک حلقے ہو جائے تو بھی یہ پاک کلمہ ان کو توڑ کر اللہ تک پہنچنے بغیر نہ رہے گا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, should I not inform you of the advice of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that he gave to his son? The Sahaba radiallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, definitely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nuh alayhi salam said to his son, O my beloved son, I advise you to do two things and to abstain from two. I advise you with the recitation of La ilaha illallah, for if this kalima had to be placed in one pan of a scale and the entire heavens and earth in the other, the kalima would certainly outweigh it. And if the heavens and earth were to form a ring around the kalima, it would cut through and proceed to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire hadith has not been mentioned for the sake of brevity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, should I not inform you of the advice Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his son? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied, definitely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said to his son, O my beloved son, I advise you to do two things and to abstain from two. I advise you with the recitation of La ilaha illallah, for if this kalima had to be placed in one pan of a scale and the entire heavens and earth in the other, the kalima would certainly outweigh it. And if the heavens and earth were to form a ring around the kalima, it would cut through and proceed to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.